It took John the better part of the night to deal with the fact that Joshua was going to let Gentiles into the kingdom. But finally, the Baptist accepted it, although he kept looking for exceptions. Even sluts? Even sluts, Joshua said. Especially sluts, I said. You're the one who is cleansing people of their sins so they will be forgiven, Joshua added. I know, but Gentile sluts in the kingdom? He shook his head, assured now by the Messiah himself that the world was going to hell in a handbasket, which really shouldn't have surprised him, since that had been his message for over 10 years. That and identifying sluts. Let me show you where you'll be staying. Shortly after I had met him on the road to Jerusalem, John had joined the Essenes. You couldn't be born an Essene, because they were all celibate, even in marriage. They also refrained from intoxicating drink, adhered strictly to Jewish dietary law, and were absolutely maniacal about cleansing themselves, physically, of sin, which had been the big selling point for John. They had a thriving community in the desert outside of Jericho called Qumran, a small city of stone and brick homes, a scriptorium for copying scrolls, and aqueducts that ran out of the mountains to fill their ritual baths. A few of them lived in the caves above the Dead Sea where they stored the jars that held their sacred scrolls. But the most zealous of the Essenes, which included John, didn't even allow themselves the comfort of a cave. He showed us accommodations near his own. It's a pit! I screamed. Three pits, to be exact. I suppose there's something to be said for having a private pit. Bartholomew, with his many canine pals, was already settling into his new pit. Oh, John, Josh said, remind me to tell you about karma. So for over a year, while Joshua was learning from John how to say the words that would make people follow him, I lived in a pit. It makes sense if you think about it. For 17 years, Joshua had spent his time either studying or sitting around being quiet. So what did he know about communicating? The last message he'd gotten from his father was two words, so he wasn't getting his speaking skills from that side of the family. On the other hand, John had been preaching for those same 17 years, and that squirrely bastard could preach. Standing waist deep in the Jordan, he would wave his arms and roll his eyes and stir the air with a sermon that would make you believe that clouds were going to open and that the hand of God, his own self, was going to reach down, grab you by the balls, and shake you till the evil rattled out of you like loose baby teeth. An hour of John's preaching, and you were not only lining up to be baptized, you'd jump right in the river and try to breathe the bottom muck just to be relieved of your own wretchedness. Joshua watched and listened and learned. John was an absolute believer in who Joshua was and what he was going to do, as far as he understood anyway. But the Baptist worried me. John was attracting the attention of Herod Antipas. Herod had married his brother Philip's wife, Herodia, without her obtaining a divorce, which was forbidden by Jewish law, an absolute outrage by the more severe laws of the Essenes, and a subject that fit well into John's pervasive slut theme. I was starting to notice soldiers from Herod's personal guard hovering around the edge of John's crowds when he preached. I confronted the Baptist one evening when he came out of the wilderness in one of his evangelical rages to ambush me, Joshua, Bartholomew, and a new guy as we sat around eating our locusts. Slut! John shouted with his Thunder of Elijah voice, waving a finger under Bart's nose. Yeah, John, Bartholomew's been getting laid a lot, I said, evangelizing for sarcasm. Almost, said Bart. I mean with another human being, Bart.
Oh, sorry, never mind.
John wheeled on the new guy, who put his hands up. I'm new, he said. Thus rebuked, John spun to face Joshua. Celibate, Joshua said. Always have been, always will be. Not happy about it. Finally, John turned to me. Slut! John, I'm cleansed. You baptized me 6 times today. Joshua elbowed me in the ribs. What? It was hot. Point is, I counted 50 soldiers in the crowd today, so ease up a little on the slut talk. You're backed up or something. You really need to rethink this no marriage, no sex, no fun ascetic thing. And the honey and locust living in a pit thing, said the new guy. He's no different than Melchior or Gaspar, Joshua said. They were both ascetics. Melchior and Gaspar weren't running around calling the provincial governor a slut in front of hundreds of people. It's a big difference, and it's going to get him killed. I am cleansed of sin and unafraid, said John, sitting down by the fire now, some of his verve gone. Yeah. Are you cleansed of guilt? Because you're going to have the blood of thousands on your hands when the Romans come and get you. In case you haven't noticed, they don't just kill the leaders of a movement. There's 1,000 crosses on the road to Jerusalem where zealots died, and they weren't all leaders. I am unafraid. John hung his head until the ends of his hair were dipping into the honey in his bowl. Herodia and Herod are sluts. He's as close as we have to a Jewish king, and he's a slut. Joshua pushed his cousin's hair out of his eyes and squeezed the wild man's shoulder. If it be so, then so be it. As the angel foretold, you were born to preach the truth. I stood up and tossed my locusts into the fire, showering sparks over John and Joshua. I've only met 2 people whose births were announced by angels, and 3/4 of them are loony, and I stormed off to my pit. Amen, said the new guy. That night, as I was falling asleep, I heard Joshua scrambling in the pit next to mine, as if a bug or an idea had roused him from his bedroll. Hey, he said. What? I replied. I just did the math. 3/4 of 2, 1.5, said the new guy, who had moved into the pit on the other side of Josh. So John's either all crazy and you're half crazy, or you're 3/4 crazy and John's 3/4 crazy. Or, well, actually, it's a constant ratio. I'd have to graph it out for you. So what are you saying? Nothing, said the new guy. I'm new. The next morning, Joshua leapt out of his pit, shook off the scorpions, and after a long morning whiz, kicked some dirt clods into my pit to thunk me from my slumber. This is it, Joshua said. Come down to the river. I'm going to have John baptize me today. Which will make it different from yesterday in what way? You'll see. I have a feeling. And off he went. The new guy prairie dogged up out of his pit. He was tall, the new guy, and the morning sun caught on his bald scalp as he looked around. He noticed some flowers growing where Joshua had just relieved himself. Lush blossoms of 6 vibrant colors stood surrounded by the deadest landscape on the planet. Hey, were those there yesterday? That always happens, I said. We don't talk about it. Wow, said the new guy. Can I tag along with you guys? Sure, I said. And thus did we become 4.